How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Figure Four Daily. It is Wednesday, April 3, 2013, here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. Joined by Lance Storm. Running late, as he noted on Twitter. It is, in fact, all Lance's fault. I'm joking. It's all my fault. But we got him here, and we got a lot of fun stuff. And Lance, what's happening?
Not too much. Been a busy day. I've been to the gym already, and I've got a couple students to take to the airport. They're heading back to the UK later today, but ready to go.
I was informed by a little birdie that last night when I did the WrestleMania call-in show and people were suggesting, what if Shawn turns on Triple H and they end up doing a match at next year's WrestleMania? And I was baffled that so many people called in with the exact same idea. I learned that yesterday you had written something with that exact same prediction.
I typed up my annual WrestleMania prediction commentary and posted it probably around noon yesterday. And while I'm not predicting that, I did comment that there aren't really any more interesting matches for Hunter to have on the horizon that I can think of, and speculated that since there is no one else really for him to work with that would be interesting, he could, in fact, put Lesnar over, and they could do it by having Shawn super kick him and put him in retirement, and then come up with some kind of unsanctioned fight match or something where the two retired men could have their last hurrah against each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then the, which I thought of afterwards, from the motivation standpoint with Shawn's promo, that he said the difference between, you know, where you're at and where I was is that I was retired by someone I had the utmost respect for, and that I know respected me and didn't rub my face in it. Brock doesn't have that respect for you. So if Shawn ended up doing the super kick, he could say that he was doing his best friend a favor because now he was retired by someone who had the utmost respect for him and knew that he had the respect back, and wasn't going to rub his nose in it, which would make that promo so much more meaningful, and they could move forward with that. Also, because I was trying to come up with a reason or a justification on Brock winning, because I think if Hunter isn't working anyone in the near future, he doesn't need the win. But if Brock's staying around, it would certainly help him. And then there is also my brain just went blank. Oh, the other thing, too, is that there's two straight-up rematches on this show. And if it's just the guy who lost last time wins this time, they'll both be exactly the same. But if Brock goes up 2-0, maybe the crowd will be more apt to buy that Rock could perhaps go 2-0 as well.
Yeah. So is your official prediction that that Brock is going to win, or do you think at the end of the day Hunter's still going over?
In my heart, I think that Hunter's going over, but my official prediction is Brock Lesnar winning.
Wow.
I have been notorious. Like, I've been doing these now for, I think, 7 years, and I almost always get Hunter's match wrong. In that way too often I assume he's going over. And then he surprises me and doesn't. I've probably had a lower percentage of accuracy with him than any other. I guess because you have to not only think, you know, what's the best booking decision here, but then it's also, since he has so much pull, it's like, okay, but it also is, you know, what's he want to do, and I always get it wrong. So I decided to go with Lesnar as my official pick. Despite deep down, I kind of expect after two broken arms and everything else and killing Vince and killing Shawn that the babyface getting his hurrah is sort of the right call. But when Hunter's quite probably not wrestling again, or at least much, it's a tougher call. So my official prediction is Brock.
So you're determined to miss it again?
Perhaps. Maybe I have a secret desire to fail in predicting Hunter's matches, but we will see. If I end up getting it right, I'll probably be in the minority, which is even better. So,
something to crow about next week, two weeks from now.
Exactly. And if I get it wrong, well, certainly not the first time.
All right, let's look at the show. Let's do a full match-by-match prediction program here today. You can all go up to Lance's website and read his prediction, but now you're going to get my take as well, and we'll see if we can convince Lance otherwise for some of his foolish predictions, such as Brock Lesnar going over. At least that's how I feel today This is all subject to change, obviously. I can change my mind on my predictions the day after the show. That's my mindset.
But by the Brian and Vinny show on Tuesday, you'll have them down.
That's right. I'll make my official prediction next Tuesday for all these matches. Pre-show, Wade Barrett versus The Miz. I will predict that Antonio Cesaro ends up on this show. I know on WWE.com, they've got a workout video, and it is Antonio Cesaro training, and the video claims he is training for WrestleMania. So either he's going to end up somewhere on the card, or they're real assholes. So take your pick.
They're ripping the shit out of him.
Yeah, I think he'll end up on... I mean, it's a one-hour pre-show, and everybody in the audience has to sit there for an hour watching video packages and a Miz match. So, like, the least they can do is add an Antonio Cesaro versus Kofi Kingston match or something like that to the pre-show as well. But that is my prediction, and I predict that... it's a tough one. I guess I predict The Miz beats Wade Barrett for the title.
Yeah, that would tend to be my pick. If they were on the show, it might not be my pick, but... to me, the pre-show is to convince people that things are afoot and it's going to be exciting. So a babyface winning a championship, to me, kicks things off in a better mood than Wade Barrett. Although perhaps Antonio Cesaro will come out and cut a promo and they will make it a three-way with both titles on the line. I don't know.
How awesome would that be, to unify the titles in an unbilled match at the WrestleMania show that no one can see unless you're watching YouTube?
Well, yeah, but if they unified the belts, then only the one guy that held it would get buried with a million losses on Raw.
That's true.
So it's a win-win. I'm not including this in my prediction. I only predict main card matches for my official average, but yeah, I'll go with Miz.
By the way, is it your birthday today?
It is. I'm 44 today.
Oh, my God. Wow. Well, happy birthday, Lance.
Thank you.
Still going strong as you near 50.
Yes, as a near 50, you bugger.
You're closer to 50 than I am.
Yeah, but I'm still closer to 40 than 50.
Let me think about this. I am closer to 40 than you are.
Are you 36, 37?
37.
Okay, yeah.
Almost 38.
Yeah, so you be careful. You're pushing up there, too.
I'm catching up with you.
Yeah, you make up for it by looking 12, though.
Thank you. All right, Tons of Funk, which is the name of this team. Tensai, Brodus Clay. Team up with Naomi and Cameron to face Team Rhodes Scholars, Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow, against the Bella Twins in an 8-person tag. And I would expect, I don't know what to expect here. I guess I predicted Tensai's team to win, but I think I predicted like a lot of babyface wins on this show. And honest to God, this probably doesn't matter all that much. So I don't know. What's your prediction? Then I'll pick otherwise.
I think this is the easiest match on the show to pick. I think it's the Tons of Funk all the way. The Funkettes, or the Funkadactyls, if you will, lost their Divas tag the week before. They pinned Brodus or Tensai, I don't remember which. The heels are up like 2-0. It's a match where you can pin anybody and it doesn't matter, so it's a feel-good moment. Let's have the Tons of Funky dancing out there and everybody being happy.
Well, I guess it is the, I presume it's the opener. I don't know this for sure, but I think it can't be. I'm looking at the lineup that I have in order in the newsletter, and looking at it, I can't imagine that they would do the Undertaker match, and then the Jack Swagger match, and then the title match, the WWE title match. I think this will probably end up being, maybe it won't be the opener. Maybe they'll do Fandango as the opener. But I'll go with, I will in fact go with Tons of Funk. Babyfaces win quick. They all dance. Everybody's happy. WrestleMania moment.
Yep.
Jericho and Fandango. This one is interesting to me because if you watch the television, Fandango has gotten the better of Jericho time after time after time, which normally in WWE leads to the babyface getting his big win. But I don't know how long Jericho is going to be around. And on top of that, it is the debut of Fandango, which I don't think is the... I don't know if I'd have Fandango lose in his debut. It is possible that they will put Jericho over at Mania, and then Fandango gets a big win and it maybe injures Jericho to send him packing on Raw, which will be seen by significantly more people. But I guess I'll just go with the obvious that Fandango is going to win here.
Yeah, I'm going with the obvious too with Fandango, although not without trepidation in that when Jericho was on your show, listening to it, it sounded to me like, you know, when you were asked, I don't know if it was how long he's going to be around or something, but there was a moment where he talked about WrestleMania and sort of paused, and it's like, you know, I'm leaving right after WrestleMania, and it was like, boy, nothing like stooging off the finish. But knowing Jericho, that wasn't a slip of the tongue. I don't know when his next Fozzy gig is. I don't know if they're in April or not until May, so maybe he was trying to let you all think that Fandango was getting the big win, but if Vince is as high on the character as it seems, in that he seems to be getting more entrance and more pyro and so forth, I just can't see them beating him in his first match. So I'm picking Fandango too, but if I end up being wrong, it's all Jericho's fault.
That is literally the only reason that I am picking Fandango, is because they've put so much time and effort and money into getting this guy over, and he's going to have his first ever match and lose. You know, I mean, even listening, like you said, not only in the Jericho interview did he talk about leaving right after Mania, but he also, when telling the story about how he was told about the match, I mean, he made it sound, maybe I was reading too much into this or listening too much into this, but he made it sound like Vince came to him and said, I need you to help get this guy over. So that's your job at Mania, which sounds to me like, you know, but I also know how Jericho is, so maybe he is going to win. I don't know, but
there's always the possibility of a non-finish.
That is true as well. That is true as well. We talked about Brock Lesnar and Triple H. So Team Hell No against Dolph Ziggler and Big E Langston. As I talked about in the newsletter, there has been some discussion of making it a six-person with AJ and Caitlin involved. And basically, it would be all titles on the line. So if Ziggler, for example, pinned Daniel Bryan, then Ziggler and Big E would be tag champions, and AJ would be the women's champion. And they would have all the titles. And then conceivably, Ziggler could also cash in, and they hold even more titles. I know that earlier in the week, there was once again talk of giving this trio the big push. So we'll see what that means. But I would expect a title change here, whether they add the girls or not. I think that probably the Team Hell No breakup, who knows. But I'd be pretty surprised if Ziggler and Big E didn't win the belts.
Yeah, if they add the girls, I'm definitely going with the heels. But my official prediction, as for my commentary, is actually for a title retention. Just that part of me in the back of my mind is thinking that Dolph could lose here and then cash in later. And then the other part is I was confident that it was going to be Ziggler and Big E until they were so dominant and left standing on Monday night. And then I started second-guessing myself. So my official prediction is a title retention. Although if they add the girls, then I'm saying it's definitely a big title switch.
Yeah, I mean, I figure they can't do all opposite from Raw, meaning everybody that stood standing at the end ends up losing at WrestleMania. And, you know, they could also do the deal where Team Hell No has the match won, but something goes wrong and they get screwed out of the titles. I can see them putting the belts on Dolph and Big E as a way to swerve people into thinking that, no, Dolph Ziggler is not going to cash in. He's the tag team champion right now, the tag team champions. And then he does cash in. So I can see him kind of go in that direction too. But to me, Team Hell No is like, it's kind of been played out in the sense that I don't even know what they're doing anymore. You know, for a while they were fighting, and then all of a sudden, completely out of nowhere, they were best friends again. And as soon as that happened, I figured, okay, well, whenever they do that, that means they're about to break up. So I don't know. I'd rather see Daniel Bryan go off and be a single star. But I guess we'll see what happens. My prediction is
I'm expecting Team Hell No to lose the title soon. I'm just predicting it'll be later than Sunday.
I see. Ryback and Mark Henry. This should be a slobber knocker. Not getting good reviews on the road. They were, in the original format, scheduled for 12 minutes, which is an impossible scenario. I'm sure they'll get less. And I predict I would be absolutely shocked, more than almost any other finish, if Ryback did not beat Mark Henry and have his big WrestleMania moment, giving him his finish at WrestleMania. He's lost and lost and lost and lost on pay-per-view after being undefeated, and it is time for them to rebuild him because God knows they need baby faces.
Yeah, absolutely. And Mark is a lot more established. I think Mark's, you know, got the level of credibility that he's not going to be hurt all that much from a loss. But if Ryback loses this one, it's like, you know, thanks for coming out. I think he has to win this one, without a doubt.
You know, what's interesting about this match is that... Go ahead.
I'm also really annoyed at you for stooging off times. Those, to me, are bigger spoilers than giving away finishers.
Really?
Well, it's... I'm watching this match, and it's like I'm sitting in the back of my head going, oh, Brian said this one's going over 20. It's like the table match, where it's like, okay, I don't have to pay attention until the table comes out.
I see.
Like you're spoiling some of the fun. It's like if I'm, and again, whoever stooged off the times to you, I'm hoping it was a swerve, and they're all wrong, because, you know what I mean? It's like if they do some kind of big move at the beginning and go for the cover, it's like I'm not going to be into it as much now, because I'm thinking, oh, they've got 12.
Well, to be fair, as you well know, it's WrestleMania, and Diddy could go long. You know what I mean? National anthem, something could happen. A match, somebody could get hurt, and the time gets cut. I mean, these times, God only knows what the times are going to be. And in fact, on Mondays, it's just Sunday or Monday, whatever Observer Radio it was, you know, Dave had gotten the times as well, and he was also baffled by the 12-minute time given to Ryback and Mark Henry. And he asked about it and was essentially told 12 means 8. So these are all just the original. And really, the reason that I put him in there is because, really, it's about what you'd expect for every match. You know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't expect Brock Lesnar and Triple H to go 5 minutes. It'd be ridiculous. And the only one that really surprised me was Ryback and Mark Henry, that they would actually get 12 minutes. That's And in the end, I don't think they will. But that was what was on the format originally.
Yeah, although the... 12 means 8 is just that, generally speaking, when you're given times, it's curtain to curtain.
I see.
So, like whenever I was on Raw or pay-per-view or whatever, they tell you 9, it's curtain to curtain for the segment. So then you immediately go, oh, I've got 9, so it's like I've really got like 6, 6.5.
Well, hopefully 12 means 4 in this particular battle.
Well, it is a long way to the ring.
Now, I got to say, regarding the 12 minutes, let's just say that time ends up being accurate. Let's say that, that Diddy doesn't go long. And the guys are told, dude, we need 12 minutes out of you guys. I have seen Ryback screw up his finish. And Mark Henry's a big, heavy guy. And he's not necessarily the most coordinated guy I've ever seen. And I'm sure that Ryback has practiced lifting Mark Henry up a number of times. But you're going to take Ryback out at the MetLife Stadium in front of 75,000, 78,000 people, whatever the real number is going to end up being. A lot of people. And it's probably the biggest stage he's ever been in front of in his entire life. And he's got a match that's been built up fairly well. And he's going up against a heavy guy. And I don't care how many times you've lifted up Mark Henry before the show started. You're out there for 12 minutes in front of all those people at the MetLife Stadium throwing around a big guy. I hope he gets him up.
Well, I think the key is, and this is something that, you know, I noticed when he first started doing the move, and the one time he had trouble with Tensai, is that, again, he starts it with hooking it like a suplex, and then he has to lift the guy and clear his head underneath. And after the first time he botched with Tensai, you know, I comment to my students, it's like, if he just picked the guy up like the torture rack, he would have a lot less trouble. And the time after the botch with Tensai, that's what he did. He didn't hook it like a suplex anymore. He picked him up like an angle slam or a torture rack and didn't have any problems at all. And I'd like to think someone is smart enough to point this out to him. So when he makes the attempt with Mark Henry, he doesn't hook it like a suplex and have to do that extra clearing Mark over his head. If he just hooks it in like an angle slam or a torture rack and then picks him up into the shell shock, then I think he'll be fine. But yeah, you don't want to get the guy huffing and puffing, get both of them extremely sweaty, and then have a mishap on the largest stage of them all.
Even lifting him up like a torture rack, I can see being kind of... I mean, I suppose he could lift him up like a fireman's carry and just have Mark kind of turn to a side a little bit. I don't know. And just kind of do it that way. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. I think at the end of the day, he'll get him up one way or the other, but maybe not his traditional way. We've got Sheamus and Orton and the Big Show against the Shield. I've gone back and forth on this one. I don't think the Shield should lose, and I think it's very obvious Randy Orton is turning. I can see them looking up and down the card and going, God damn, everyone knows I finished every single one of these matches. What the hell? Let's put the baby faces over strong, or maybe even do some sort of schmoz finish where you don't have a finish and you don't actually beat the Shield. They could even do the DQ like they've been doing on house shows and dark matches, and then do the match again on Raw, and that's where Randy Orton does his big turn. I can see him doing something like that. I think at the end of the day, Orton's turning, but whether it happens here or Raw the next night, if they want to push Randy Orton big time as a heel, if they want to do a big heel turn and push, you know, the Raw after WrestleMania is usually the highest rated, most watched show of the year. So you could do the rematch and the turn on that show. So we'll see. I will predict this doesn't have a finish. That's going to be my new prediction. It does not have a finish. It's a DQ or a no contest or something like that.
I'm going with the Shield. Again, I've already got an unpredicted finish on my card, so I don't need to create one here. And if they really wanted to surprise you, it could just not be Orton that does the turn. But I'm expecting some kind of mishap, be it intentional or accidental, on the babyface's side for Shield. They've done such a good job of protecting these guys. I don't see the point in screwing that up now.
Yeah, you could actually have the Shield beat him due to mishap, and then the next night on Raw, Orton does a crazy promo just telling the other guys, listen, we can beat these guys. Whatever happened last night happened. Fuck it, let's go out there and do this tonight, and that's when he does his big turn.
Certainly could.
Undertaker and CM Punk. I guess, actually, I take that back. I would be more surprised if CM Punk beat Undertaker than if Mark Henry beat Ryback. I think there is a, whatever the odds are for Gegard Mousasi's fight on Saturday, I believe they're currently minus 2,000 against the training partner of Alexander Gustafsson. These odds would be longer. CM Punk is not beating The Undertaker.
Yeah, I thought he had a snowball's chance in hell at the beginning, but after completely laying out The Undertaker and covering him in Paul Bearer's ashes, if you will, or mystical dust, whatever the hell that was. I think this is one of the safest bets to come along in a long time. But again, still should be a really good match, and I'm curious to see what they do with it. And I think the biggest thing is, especially because, again, they're both really excellent. There's going to be the attempt, at least, for that one moment where you go, holy shit. Much like with the Tombstone by Hunter the first year, where you start doubting the certainty of the outcome. And if they can give us that one moment, then they've successfully worked us. So that's what I'm looking forward to. See if they can find that one moment where you, just for that half a second, go, wait a minute, he's not going to lose. And then, again, Taker will kick out and the streak will prevail, I would assume. But
I have a finish in my mind. Hopefully this isn't their finish and they change it. I picture, listen, Undertaker is getting old, and they obviously want to do a lot of stuff, but, you know, I don't know how much he can really do. So I picture a match where they wrestle for a while, and then they start to fight outside the ring, and maybe they get outside for a while, and, you know, the ref goes after him. He's not officially doing the count yet or whatever. Something where you kind of get him a little ways away from the ring, maybe even all the way up to the ramp. I don't even know how you'd do it. I'd have to think about this for a while. But regardless, what has to happen is Undertaker has to be far enough away from the ring and beaten up that when Punk gets in the ring and is begging for the referee to count, the referee has to be at like 8, 9, and Undertaker is so far away that it is literally impossible for him to get back to the ring. Because obviously, you know, Punk has been doing these promos talking about how it doesn't matter how I win. You know, you could get really mad and get yourself DQ'd. You could get counted out of the ring. You know, it doesn't matter. I am going to win. He hasn't talked about pinning The Undertaker or beating him. He just wants to win and end the streak. So I picture, like, Punk's in the ring. He's pleading with the referee to count. The Undertaker is on the stage so far away that it's impossible he could get in the ring. And the referee is at 8. He's at 9. And the lights go out. And the lights go out. There's a moment of silence. And then all of a sudden on the stage, you see the big spotlight. It is the urn. The urn is come to life. Paul Bearer's spirit has activated the urn. You see the big spotlight going up to the ceiling, and the lights come back on. The Undertaker is in the ring, right behind CM Punk. Punk turns around, scooped up, tombstoned, and that's the end of the match.
Not the worst thing.
I can't think of any other finish where you would convince people that Undertaker is losing, unless they actually see him so far away from the ring that they feel it is impossible he will get back in the next 2 seconds.
Perhaps, who knows, although I'm curious what ceiling you're talking about, considering the stadium.
Ceiling?
You said the light would shine up to the ceiling.
Oh, it will shine up into the heavens! That's even better!
There you go.
It shines into the heavens! I just figure Paul Bearer is somehow costing CM Punk this match. And I don't know how, but that's my prediction.
There you go. When he's talking about he just wants to beat the streak, he should have said he's even going to try to get to go to a no contest. That way, Taker's only 20-0-1.
That's right.
The worst finish ever.
Thought of that one. 20-0-1.
Yeah, you lose the streak and the dude doesn't get over for winning.
Wouldn't it be 21-0?
No, it'd be 20 wins, no losses, and one no contest.
I see. Okay. I didn't know how you did the dashes there. All right. Alberto Del Rio and Jack Swagger. To me, take your pick. Doesn't matter. This is a match where they could change the finish because you can always do the title change on Raw or at Extreme Rules if you want to. I know originally they were scheduled for a rematch at Extreme Rules. I don't know if they've changed their mind. I when I first saw the Jack Swagger character, thought, all right, here we go. This is going to be Alberto Del Rio's foil all the way through SummerSlam. But then I later realized that, well, Dolph, if he's going to cash in, he's going to cash in on Alberto. And he has to cash in before SummerSlam. So you could, I mean, there's a million things you can do. Alberto can win, and then Ziggler cashes in. Swagger can win, and Ziggler cashes in, although that would probably make Ziggler a babyface. Ziggler doesn't cash in. He cashes in Extreme Rules. There's a lot of different ways you can go. I guess my prediction will be that, Alberto Del Rio gets the win, and no Ziggler cash in.
Okay, I'm definitely going Alberto for the win. To me, the Swagger thing has not picked up heat; it has lost heat. And again, I'm not making any official predictions as for the Money in the Bank, but it would not surprise me at all.
All righty, and finally, The Rock versus John Cena. There were a lot of predictions on the show last night that involved a John Cena heel turn. I don't think John Cena's turning heel. If for no other reason than, as I talked about yesterday, if John Cena turned heel tomorrow, who is the new John Cena? Who is your new top babyface that replaces Cena? I don't know who that would be. And I think they probably just want to give him an edge, leading into him certainly being booed out of the building in New York. And there are two options. Rock beats him again, and John Cena puts up something, maybe his career or whatever, for one last shot at The Rock at Extreme Rules, since Rock is apparently booked for that event. Or John Cena just gets the win here, and I can't imagine a rubber match at Extreme Rules. I suppose it's possible. But they do something in that direction. I guess at the end of the day, I don't know. It seems so obvious that Cena's winning that I almost want to predict that The Rock retains. But I will go with John Cena winning the WWE title in New York.
Yeah, me too. Sometimes, you know, the obvious is the best way to go, and you just need to do it. I don't think anybody wants to see additional build to a third match. Once in a lifetime is already up to twice in a lifetime. I don't think we need to do three. And like you say, it's like, who's the next John Cena? They don't have a real hot, fiery babyface that, you know, if Punk was at his peak as a babyface, like he was however long ago that was, a year and a half ago or whatever it was. You know, if Punk was on fire as a babyface like that right now, then I could see maybe. But I just think it's funny that people thought there was hints of a heel turn in his promo. It was like, this is the most likable he's ever been. He's acting like a real serious guy that gives a shit. I don't know how that's being heelish. It's how every, you know, legitimate sports team or athlete that's in a competitive fight acts. It's the most I've liked him since he's in a while.
Now, the Extreme Rules show is in St. Louis. I don't know what that means. I don't know if he would be more likely to be cheered against The Rock in St. Louis. I doubt it. You know, if it were John Cena's hometown that Extreme Rules was taking place in, that'd be one thing, but it's not. So, yeah, I'll go with The Rock losing.
I was going to say, Jesus.
John Cena beats The Rock. Everyone on the internet gets mad. Everyone else in real life is happy. I shouldn't say everybody, but yeah. What would you do, Lance? What would you do if Vince came to you and he said, Lance, I've got Brock and John Cena, or Brock and The Rock, both at Extreme Rules. Put together a card for me. What would you do?
Oh, Jesus. Whew, God, I don't know. I'd tell him I'd have to call him back. Jesus. I don't know. I really don't. You know, unless they're both done after Extreme Rules, in which case I just have them fight each other. I don't know, because you've got the issue of, you know, who's a big enough person to work with Rock that's going to matter. And I really have no idea. I think putting them both on Extreme Rules is profit suicide.
It may very well be, or it could be a gigantic event.
It could, but it's going to be, what, the fourth straight pay-per-view featuring The Rock?
Yeah.
It, to me, makes it a lot less special. So unless he's got a big-time major opponent, again, whether if Taker's got himself in shape and wants to do more than just WrestleMania, I might consider putting Taker in there in some capacity. Put Brock and Taker there and put Brock over on Taker and then have Brock want him at WrestleMania. Saying, I know I can beat you, now I just have to do it on the other stage. I don't know.
It should be noted that Mania, of course, is this weekend, April 7th, and Extreme Rules is not until May 19th. So 6-7 weeks between shows. It's a lot of time to build something up big.
I'll say.
Of course, then we've got WWE Payback on June 16th. About 3 weeks later. What the hell does that even mean? WWE Payback. So
I don't know, maybe they're going to pay us to watch the show?
Yeah, maybe they pay us and we watch it. Hadn't thought of that.
That'd be good. I'd order that show.
Hadn't thought of that one. All right, your thoughts on Raw, the final go-home Raw. What did you think?
On the whole, I thought it was a good show. I found the John Cena promo way too long for my liking. That match to me is established and done, and I don't need to hear either one of them talk about it anymore, which is why I certainly wouldn't want a rubber match. But I thought the thing they did with the tag team titles was a strong build for that match. I thought Big E muscling Kane's hand off his throat was really good. You know, I think they did they hammered the nails home that they needed to as far as Jericho and Fandango, the tag match. I think the Punk segment with the urn, I don't want to say tasteless, but it had a bitter taste in my mouth watching it. But I think it was probably effective and a good idea in that I know you had one caller that said he's not ordering the show because of it, but A, I'm not sure I believe him, and B, I'm not sure that there's too many other people. I think at the end of the day, it offended people enough that they will talk about it, and it probably will attract more buys than it turns away. So I think that was effective. I liked the Heyman and Brock. I was surprised at how off the cuff and nonchalantly the "I'll be in your corner" line ended up going out. It was like, oh boy, that just didn't seem to have the bells and whistle behind it that I thought it should have, or did it get the reaction I thought it should have? You know, having Sean added to the match, at least as a observer, but at ringside, I thought would have been a bigger deal. It just seemed to be, oh, by the way, I'll be at ringside. So I thought that was odd. But on the whole, I thought it nailed the points home that it needed to for Mania. And I didn't feel like the show really dragged.
Now, what about Impact last week?
I have such a mixed bag of emotions with Impact. I guess the biggest problem is like I love Bully Ray as a heel is phenomenal, but the Aces and Eights on the whole I don't care about. I think they've done a really poor job at getting the people in Aces and Eights over. It's like, you know, Doc and Knox, it's like they're just guys. And, you know, D'Lo and Ken Anderson and Devon and Wes and Garrett, it's like, to me, as individuals and names, it's like they haven't been established to the point where I care. So other than Bully, there's not a lot to Aces and Eights that I care about. And again, they don't have the baby faces lined up. To me, it's very similar to, Main Event Mafia, NWO at the end, and all the other groups that, you know, let's keep getting heat on these heels, and you have no baby faces to rally behind. Because Hogan's just bickering in his office, being rather unlikable, and so much is put behind him and Sting, and it's like, well, are baby faces moving forward? So in that regard, I'm not crazy with it. There's generally good wrestling on the show, though, and again, I think Bully's been fantastic. I wasn't crazy about it, and again, I thought the fact that if you get called out, you have to fight stipulation not being honored hurts things.
Yeah, that was a big issue. I didn't even think about that until someone brought it up the next day, but once it was mentioned, it was like, huh, about that. They killed the stipulation in virtually every one of those matches.
Mm-hmm. I think there was two that I noticed. Maybe there was more than that, but
I've never been sold on the concept anyway, in the sense that, like, who gets to call anyone out? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if we're both at Impact, why do you get to call someone out and I don't? Do we draw straws backstage? How do we decide who gets to call anybody out?
Yeah, they've never determined that, and that's, again, one of the T's they forgot to cross. But then when they didn't even hold up the stipulation when Gail was called out to fight, and she didn't. She just asked somebody else to come out, and the match never happened. So it, again, does damage to the gimmick moving forward. And then Gut Check being a tryout for a 17-year veteran, I thought was odd.
Well, I also like, the other thing with the call-outs is like, so they're doing the call-outs gimmick once a month to make a show that you do every month that's a little bit special. And then you've got Gut Check once a month every month to make everything a little bit special. So why not the week before the call-outs, you have a series of matches, you just do your show as normal, but the added stipulation for all the matches is anybody that wins on Impact tonight gets to call someone out for Open Fight Night next week. Easy.
Yeah, because Impact actually plans enough ahead that wouldn't even be a problem for them.
Yeah. I mean, just give me something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So. No, that would be good. And I just another thing, too, that... Again, I'm curious, and maybe they thought he would be a draw, but I think Petey Williams, just as a surprise next week, would have gotten a really big reaction instead of the lackluster announcement and showing him on the screen that they did. Petey was such a big part of the early years of TNA and the X Division that I think bringing him back would get a really big reaction, but I don't know if... it's enough to spike a number by announcing this week that he'll be wrestling next. But I think had he been just a surprise, I think that would have been a really pleasant surprise and a big prop for the crowd watching. Although I suppose maybe now that they're on the road, the live crowd won't be as loyal and enamored. If they were still in the Impact Zone, I could see the people going batshit crazy for Petey coming back. But I was happy to see him back because he did, you know, log a lot of hours and take a lot of bumps getting... the X Division and TNA on the map in the early years, so it's nice to see him getting brought back.
All right, we're running low on time here, Lance, but you mentioned getting people back to the airport, so when does the next session start up?
Beginning of May. It'll be the first Monday in May, I assume, probably the 6th or 7th. I don't remember off the top of my head. It's booked completely full, probably a couple spots more than full than I would like, but it's a jam-packed session. September is also jam-packed, although I do need to reach out to everybody again and just reconfirm, because sometimes we have people that realize they don't have all their ducks in a row and want to bump, so I need to reconfirm, because I've got people waitlisted for September, and I've got a few people signed up for January of next year. So if you're interested in training with me, Storm Wrestling Academy, you can go to stormwrestling.com or stormwrestlingacademy.com, whichever you prefer. All takes you to the same place. You can find out information on my school, as well as the same site. It'll take you to another page where you can read my WrestleMania predictions, etc. So there's lots of stuff up there. And again, yeah, you're in the ring training with me, having matches with me. And if you fly in or out, I will even pick you up at the airport. So.
Wow, what a deal.
Mm-hmm. You get to ride in my truck.
Wow. Does that have a big image of you doing a half crab on the back windshield?
No, I didn't take a page out of Quentin Jackson's book and get my my face painted on the front of my truck.
That's too bad. That's too bad. I think that'd be you'd get a lot of people at the school around town if you drove around in that thing.
Yeah, I'll get right on that.
You ever thought of a Humvee?
No, with the price of price of gas, I'm glad I don't have a Humvee.
Sure.
Although my truck's bad enough on gas as it is.
I picture you having a big truck for some reason, Lance. I don't know why.
I used to have a smaller car, but when we got a camping trailer, I had to get a truck that was big enough to pull it. So
that's right. That's right. When does camping season start this year?
Actually, we hit 67 degrees Fahrenheit yesterday in the sun.
Wow.
Although we did have snow on the ground this morning.
I was going to say, you got some of the weather we had a couple of days ago, but thankfully we didn't have the snow.
Yeah, it's up to 10 now, which is, I think, 50 degrees Fahrenheit, and the snow is all gone. But camping season is pretty much starting anytime now.
Only time you want to camp on the Washington or Oregon coast, you know the man to talk to.
There you go, for sure.
Vinny. No, I'm joking. All right, everybody, we're going to wrap it up. Check out @LanceStorm on Twitter. And stormwrestling.com is a place to go for everything that we've been talking about today. You can read Lance's WrestleMania predictions yourself. Make a copy of them and save them. So when he tries to edit them on Sunday, you can go back and say, hold on a second, Lance, you did not pick CM Punk in that Undertaker match. And all the information about the school as well. You can get in the ring and Lance's truck if you sign up for his next session or any of his upcoming sessions. And Lance, of course, has students that are working all over the world, including several in WWE developmental, some that have even been put over big in the last couple of weeks by Dr. Tom Pritchard himself. So check it out. And, of course, thanks, Lance. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We got a lot of shows coming up over Mania weekend. Lots of shows. And we've put up a lot over the last couple of weeks. So check those out. We'll talk to you again after a while.